just like to take a moment to welcome you. It's really nice for you to spend this afternoon with us and this time with us as we, yes, grieve and mourn, but also celebrate a life well lived and a life we will see again someday soon. So at this time, let's just pause for prayer. Father God, we just want to invite your presence here as we, yes, grieve the loss of a friend, a husband, a relative, but also as we grieve, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. We are thankful that because of Jesus, we all have hope of life eternal in you. And we praise you that Jim made that choice to trust in you as his Lord and Savior. And so now as we spend this time together, we invite your presence to join us as we remember, as we claim promises, as we weep, and as we laugh. I pray for comfort and healing for hurting hearts during these moments in a special way, and especially for Brenda, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. We'll read a couple of verses of Scripture. The first one is Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. And this is what it says. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Then also from James 1:17, which says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. John 5, 24, 28, and 29. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. And James 5, 7, and 8, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruits of the earth, waiting patiently, for until it receives the early and latter rain, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. In Revelation 14, 13, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works will follow them.
Jim and I met when I arrived late at Madison Academy. He was in the band, and he was playing trumpet. And I, at the time, was not playing trumpet. I was playing a tuba. So Bob Anderson put us both to work in all that we were doing that particular year. We took a couple of trips that I remember, one to Louisville, Kentucky, to do a band festival there, and then another trip to Forest Lake Academy, where I did not participate in the band, Jim did, but I participated in the choral part. But Jim and I became very good friends because we sat beside each other in band during the last part of the year, and we both played trumpet. We weren't first trumpet. But there was a little lady there by the name of Joan Williams that outdid us both, and we had all the kinds of competition going on there. But I'd like to play this number as a tribute to what Jim has done. Jim and I also partook in the lost my thought. It is written. Yeah, the ingest program there. We were both taking old tapes and putting them online so you could see them during the classic It Is Written programs. So I'd like to dedicate these words to you. Hope you can see the words. Hope you can hear. Let's go ahead and start. Let's get you loud enough.
Thank you. James Olin Morris was born November 15, 1949, at the Alta Vista Hospital in Pasadena, California, to the late Lois May Campbell and Robert Wesley Morris. I always thought that Olin was a different name, and it must have come from the Campbell side of the family, but I just found out that he was actually named after his mother's OBGYN. I'm Steve Morris, Jim's first cousin. We always felt more like distant brothers because we both only had sisters. We never lived close to each other. Jim spent his life in Illinois and Tennessee while I lived in California. I was 4 months older than Jim, but always felt like I was catching up. He was bigger than me and much more cerebral. While I was content to listen to the radio, he was tearing one apart to see how it worked. While I was riding my 10-speed bike, he was getting his pilot's license. He graduated before I did, had a job before I did, and got married before I did. In 1972, I graduated from Walla Walla College and immediately drove to Madison, Tennessee to take anesthesia. I got in at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the first thing Jim said to me, we hadn't seen each other in 5 years. He said, if you're going to work in this hospital, you've got to get a haircut. And number two, you need to go get fitted for a tux. I'm getting married in 2 weeks. And that was news to me. Jim and Brenda, his wife of 53 years, just first met in 1961 at age 11, but they did not know each other until about 9 years later when they started dating. When they married in 1972 and were combining important papers, they found out that their first meeting was actually in 1961 at their baptism, performed by Pastor Harold Brown at the Bowman Hills Church. Jim wanted to be baptized by Uncle Harold, so the family drove down from Madison to Cleveland. Thus, Jim and Brenda were baptized together but did not know each other. Jim graduated from Southern Missionary College and then from University of Alabama, the football school, where he studied health and hospital administration. Jim's father was a hospital administrator, and he followed in his footsteps, serving in various administrative roles in Florida, Illinois, and California, then back to Tennessee. Brenda calls this her whither thou goest phase of their marriage. Jim was immersed in health care his entire life. He even became a nurse practitioner at the age of 59. Jim believed in organ donation, which began early in one of his administrative roles at Florida Hospital in Orlando. There, he engaged in his lifelong love of flying by volunteering to transport donated organs to transplant centers. In keeping with that belief, his driver's license documented his desire to be a donor, and he is still serving in healthcare today, saving the life of a 60-year-old man who lives in Georgia, and his tissue donations will enhance the lives of many others in the future. Jim was blessed with three sisters, Lenny, Debbie, and Connie. Their mother was killed in an auto accident when he was 17 years old, and their father then married Carolyn Gibson Urich, which brought him another sister, Cindy. He was the typical brother, both an antagonist and protector. Lenny said, Jimmy was the oldest of five kids, four of them girls and himself. He had a lot to watch out for and protect. If he liked the guy you were dating, okay. Otherwise, look out. Jimmy's bedroom was off limits to the girls when he was gone, sometimes Lynn would sneak in and have a look around because he had the neatest things. whether it was a shell collection with every name typed out under the shell, or which reminded them, her, of their times walking along Lake Michigan and picking them up. He had a tall boy dresser full of clothes, but the top drawer was where he kept his treasures. One day, she saw a Snickers candy bar in there, and she knew she better not touch it or eat it. But she thought later she should have, and she should have stuffed the wrapper back to make it look like the candy bar was still in there. But she said, if I did that, I knew I'd be in trouble, and my sisters would not back me up. Jim was spiritual, and looking at the program today, wouldn't you know some of his favorite texts are from James. He took pride in his friendships, music, and his love for sweet Brenda. He could be hard-nosed in a good way, and sometimes I feel myself the same, doing the same. I miss you, Jimmy. Connie tells the story of how Jim told the two sisters who were in college at the same time he was, now don't come hanging around me. But on the other hand, in later years, whenever she phoned for help with her computer, he always started the same way. Okay, sit down in front of it. Are you ready? Okay. In the lower corner, there's a button. Push that and watch what happens. Did it come on? Okay, next. And he would go on to tell her the other steps. She asked one day, why are you always so gentle and how do you know how to make me feel smart when I'm doing this? And he said, well, it's because I have to help Brenda. Brenda, Connie loves you for not being computer literate. Debbie, who came along when Jim was 10, was Jim's cuddle bunny. They lived in the Chicago area and needed a bigger place to live, so they got a new 3-bedroom apartment. Jim said, the baby can go right here. I can get up when she needs to be patted on the back, or I can change her. It's no problem. She'll just be my little cuddle bunny. Cindy reminded Debbie that in later years, when Jim came home, he would ask, where's my cuddle bunny? And she would run squealing to greet him. Debbie proudly says that she was the only sister that he allowed downstairs to see the amazing model railroad he had built and his bug collection from when he was in academy. Jim traveled the European continent in 1969, planning to attend school at Newbold College in England. During the Adventist World Youth Congress held in Zurich, Switzerland, he became homesick and decided to come back to Tennessee. Unfortunately, during those months of travel, he had let his hair grow slightly long, too long. It was the era of the Beatles. So upon arrival at church, he was informed by one of the officials that he needed to get a haircut. In probably his only act of rebellion in life, he went immediately on Sabbath and got a haircut. No pictures exist from that. Jim could tell you many stories of his life as he was interested in many things, some of which you've already heard. He became a private pilot at age 16, then became instrument and commercial rated. He was a captain in the Civil Air Patrol, participating in several search and rescue missions. He loved nature photography, stamp collecting, and many others. He built a Heath Kit amateur radio station when young, which sparked a lifelong interest in ham radio. He was a member of the Cleveland and Collegedale amateur radio clubs. For years until his death, every day at 5:30, he participated in an on-air Bible study. KE4GBY is now called a silent key in radio parlance. He was still volunteering for the Cleveland Police Department's public service unit at the time of his death. While Jim may have left this life on May 27, 2026, He still remains very much with us today. And so Brenda asks that you celebrate his life by living yours, as in the words of the song, "I Then Shall Live," found on the back of your program. Thank you.
Today, like you, I've lost a good friend. I was a brother that Jim never had. He always called me his brother by another mother. Every Sabbath morning, I would be here early and power up the audiovisual equipment. As soon as he came up, we would test the mission spotlight to make sure the sound was working. Then we would sit down and talk. We laughed over a trip Jim and Brenda took to the Tetons and what Jim had to do to get Brenda out of the sleeping bags. We laughed about a horseback trip where Jim didn't get along with his horse and walked back rather than ride the horse. He shared an airplane trip with Brenda where the wings of their plane began icing up as they came into land. And he had to go full throttle to keep their plane in the air. I could go on and on. Today you have received a card to share your memories of Jim. We would appreciate it if you'd fill that out. It would mean a lot to the family. If you don't have a special memory, you can tell at least where you were connected with Jim. Some of you may have connected with him through ham radio. Others of you may have connected with him from a previous church or other occasion. Please share that in the card, and when you leave today, make sure it's in the basket in the back. I know the family's going to enjoy going over those. The Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I've learned since Jim's death that Jim's heart was in sharing the gospel. He contributed to many different ministries of our church. I also am aware of individuals that he helped personally. In the Bible, we find death is commonly referred to as sleep. It assures us those who sleep in Jesus will one day be awakened by Jesus at his second coming. Notice with me Paul's description of death in 1 Thessalonians 4. Beginning with verse 14, it says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first." I like the words in the next verse. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds of the air. So shall we always be with the Lord." So what does it mean to sleep in Jesus and to be in Christ? The Bible defines who qualifies as part of the family of God. In John 1:12, we read, "But as many as received him," that is Jesus, "to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his," that is Jesus, "name." Matthew adds one further detail. Matthew 12, verse 47 says, "And one said to him, 'Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak to you.' But he answered and said to the one who told him, 'Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?' And he stretched out his hands toward his disciples and said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother.'" In order to be part of the family of God, Scripture says you must receive Jesus into your heart, believe in his name, and do his will. Reading that description, I believe Jim was a child of God. And because of that, I believe we have the hope of seeing him again. 1 Corinthians 15 gives us added details of what takes place when those who are asleep in Jesus are awakened on the resurrection morning. "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption." Corruptible, incorruptible, incorruption. Big words that I want to make sure you understand what they mean. So let me give you a simple definition. The one who is working in Jim's heart and life will one day complete his work on that day, according to Philippians 1, verse 6. Jim will no longer have joint pain, problems with his hands and feet. He will have a full head of wavy hair. I can't wait to see that. One day, Brenda, you're going to see Jim and see Jim and I walk in the streets of gold as brothers. Praising Jesus for what he's done for us. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. That is what it means to go from corruptible to incorruption. Sin has brought tears, pain, sickness, death. The results of sin will be removed and God will restore us. God promised to make us new. It goes on to say this mortal must put on immortality. Jim and those who have received Jesus in their heart, believe in him and are doing his will, receive eternal life when Jesus comes. That's the promise. Revelation 21 says there will be no more death. Continuing on, verse 54, we read, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But then we read verse 57. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice where the victory over sin, the sting of death, comes from. God gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he that has begun a good work in us will bring it to completion in that day. 1 Corinthians 6:14 says, and God both raised up the Lord Jesus and will also raise us up by his power. The Bible does not discourage us from grieving the loss of someone we love. Death separates us from those we love. Jim will be sorely missed by those who knew him and loved him. What 1 Thessalonians 4:13 does say is our grieving is not the same as someone who has no hope. We have a living hope because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. He was the first fruits. But all of us who are in Jesus are also raised from our graves just as he was. We have a God who we can turn to for comfort. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which God, which we ourselves are comforted by God. How sad to be left without hope. It is the death and resurrection of Jesus that provides us with hope. This afternoon, if there is anyone who has not received Jesus into your heart and come to believe in him, I invite you to do so today. It's just as simple as receiving Jesus into your heart, believing in him, and living a life that's pleasing to him. There's a promise Jesus made to Martha as she's grieving the loss of her brother, Lazarus. It's found in John 11:25. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Standing outside the tomb of Lazarus, it says, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. One day soon, the voice of Jesus will once again shout, calling forth his children. What a day that will be. I pray each person here will be part of that great union that takes place that day. John 5:28, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Today, we say goodbye to Jim, remembering as we do so, because of Jesus, our goodbyes are not forever. think I was supposed to introduce the song that follows. The following song, I Then Shall Live, was written by Gloria Gaither to the tune Finlandia by Gene Sibelius. It was recorded in 2017 by the Covenant of Praise Men's Chorus, directed by Herb Paulson. And Herb's here today, somewhere. Jim was a member of the group for several years and is singing in this recording. It became his favorite song, and he listened to it often, taking its message to heart. We would like to offer its message to you today as a charge to your life. If you listen carefully and you knew Jim, you will be able to hear his voice. would remind you to please turn in your memory card as you leave. The family's going to enjoy going through those together to see how you're connected with him. Our church family would like to invite you to join Brenda and Jim's family for light refreshments in our fellowship hall following the closing prayer and the postlude. Let us pray. Father, I pray that we would not become so comfortable in our present sinful world, that we lose sight of the fact that there is a better world that God has prepared for those who love him. Word, will there be no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow or death. Today we look forward anew to that day and that place. Keep us faithful. Today, I especially lift up Brenda. Surround her with your arms of love. In her hours of loneliness, may she realize your presence is there with her. You have promised you never leave us or forsake us. I claim that promise. In Brenda's behalf. Be with his sisters as well. Lynn and Connie and Debbie. Be close to them as well in this hour of grief. And again, we look forward because of Jesus. What Jesus has done for us. To one day going home to a better world. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. We long anew for that day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.